Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and Mishnah Yomi continues in Chapter 2 of Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah number 9. A very fitting limud for Shabbos Shoftim, as we will find out. So in Mishnah Tess, we're continuing this saga. We're going to find out today, it turned into a saga, about when Rabban Gamliel accepted two witnesses about the moon, even though there were some discrepancies and some oddities in their testimony, because he relied on his own calculation, not just the testimony. And parts of the testimony could be ignored as obviously inaccurate, while other parts he could accept. Now, at that time, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkonis disagreed with this psak, and Rabbi Yeshua also disagreed with Rabban Gamliel. So now let's pick up in Mishnah 9, Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yehoshua, Gozroni alecha, I'm making a gezerah, a decree upon you, shetavo etzli, that you come to me. They weren't living in the same town. Bimokelcha, with your walking stick. Bimotecha, with your wallet, your money belt. Bayom kippurim shechaliot becheshbonech. On your Yom Kippur. So what was going on is, since Rabban Gamliel accepted the testimony, it was already Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and Yom Kippur would be 10 days later. But Rabbi Yeshua had not accepted this testimony, or he publicly said he was disagreeing with this psak, so his Rosh Chodesh wouldn't be until the following day, and his Yom Kippur would be a day after Rabban Gamliel's Yom Kippur. So effectively, Rabban Gamliel is ordering Rabbi Yehoshua, who we'll see is actually older and wiser than him, to appear publicly to be not following all the strictures of Yom Kippur, even though he thinks that day is Yom Kippur. So Halachu Mitzal Rabbi Akiva Meitzer. So Rabbi Akiva went to Rabbi Yeshua and found him. He was very upset. Amarlo. So Rabbi Akiva tries to give him perspective. Yeshli Lilmod Shekol Masha Asa Rabban Gamliel Asui. He says, I can learn from the Torah that whatever Rabban Gamliel has done, since he was the Nasi, he was the head of the court at this time, it's a done deal. Meaning, even if it's a mistake, even if he should really have not accepted this testimony, since the court already declared Rosh Chodesh on the day, according to Rabban Gamliel, that was Mamish Rosh Chodesh, and they should follow that calendar. Shenemar, and Bikiva bases this on the verse, Eile Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh, these are the festivals of Hashem, the holy callings, Asher Tigru Otam, that you will proclaim them. Now, the words, you will proclaim them, are extra. Bein Bizmonon, Bein Shelo Bizmonon, whether they're in the proper time, you know, the moon was really there, or not in the proper time, Ein li moadot ela elu. We only have these festivals based on the Rosh Chodesh that the Bez Din, the High Court, has proclaimed. So Rabbi Akiva, we see, is trying to encourage Rabbi Yehoshua to accept the authority of the court, even when they make a mistake. Balu etzel Rabbi Dosa ben Harkonis. Rabbi Yehoshua goes to Rabbi Dosa, who had also disagreed with accepting the witnesses, Amar lo, and he said to him, Im ba'in anu ladun achar beit dinu Rabban Gamliel. So Rabbi Dosa is saying to Yeshua, if we come to challenge Rabban Gamliel, tzrichin anu ladun achar kol beit dinu beit din sh'amad mimot Moshe ad achshav. We would have to challenge every court that ever stood from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until now. And he also brings a scriptural source, Shenemar, Vayal Moshe ve'aharon, Nadav Yehu, Shivim Zikne Yisrael. So it says in Exodus that Moshe and Aharon and Nadav and Avihu and the 70 elders, they all went up the mountain. V'lama lo nitzparshu shmot on shel zakenim. So why doesn't the Torah list the names of the 70 sages who were also on this high court? Ela lemed shekol shlosha u'shlosha. This teaches us that every three judges, sha'amdu beit din ol Yisrael, that become an official court over Am Yisrael to judge them and make halachic reality, Harehu kevet dino shel Moshe. They have the same chashivas, the same importance and authority as the original court of Moshe Rabbeinu and those 70 elders. So the Mishnah concludes, Notol Maklo, Rabbi Yeshua took his stick, Umaotav, and his wallet viado, v'halach liyavne. And he went to Yavne, etzel Rabban Gamliel. He went to the court where Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, the president of the court, v'yom shechol yom kippurim l'yot b'cheshbono. On the day that Rabbi Yeshua had said should be Yom Kippur, the day after Rabban Gamliel's Yom Kippur. And you understand, since Rabban Gamliel in the High Court had declared Rosh Chodesh, that all of Am Yisrael had kept Yom Kippur on that day that Rabban Gamliel had declared to be the 10th of Tishrei. So Rabbi Yehoshua also had fasted and kept Yom Kippur that day, but he was being stringent, like his own opinion, and keeping 2 days back to back of Yom Kippur. So at least he was fasting. He wasn't doing anything really usher. He was just appearing in public with his stick in front of Rabban Gamliel to accept his authority. Amad Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel stood up, a sign of respect, and Shako al Rosho, he gave him a kiss. We see that the sages would, you know, kiss each other in the cheek. Amar lo, and he told him, Bo v'shalom, come in peace. Rebbe v'talmidi, my teacher and my student. What does he mean? Rebbe b'chokhmah, you are my teacher in wisdom. You're greater than me in scholarship. V'talmidi, and you're also my student, shekibolta devorai, that you've accepted my words. Now we see, apropos of Parshat Shoftim, which we're reading this Shabbat, that accepting the authority of a Jewish court, the Parshat says, you know, you go to the judge in your day, even if he's not as great as Moshe, even if he's not as great as the Rambam, even if he's not as great as Rashi, we have the judges and the Rebbeim, the teachers of our time. Another important thing, if you study history, you'll realize this was only a few years after the Korban, and it's really hard to overstate the importance of this event in this Mishnah. This particular Mishnah is recorded in Shas, in Mishnayot. This was an extremely important turning point. This was only a few years after the Korban, the destruction of Yerushalayim. This took place when the court was in Yavne. That was the first stop after Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had petitioned to Vespasian, who had become the Roman emperor, to please spare Yavne and the sages and to allow the Sanhedrin to meet there and convene there and do official business on behalf of the Jewish people. And that was, so that this was in Yavne, the first stop after the Korban. And this was a very difficult time for Klal Yisrael. The Jewish nation was suffering immensely at this time. And if there were further rifts, further schisms among the Jewish people, it would have been a disaster. We learned in the Gemara in Gittin that the rabbis had wanted to make peace with the Romans and be moderate, but there were a group of biryonim. There were these, you know, basically, you could say ultra-nationalists and to a paranoid degree who just wanted to have a war, and there was this big schism and splits among the population. And the rabbis, the sages, these sages in the Mishnah are trying to hold the Jewish nation together as one unified group and take care of the refugees and the poor and the wounded and those sold into slavery. If there were further schisms among the rabbis themselves, Klal Yisrael would have been doomed. That's why this Mishnah is here. This was such an important event that literally four men saved the Jewish nation. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Dosa. They saved the Jewish nation by uniting under one rabbinical authority, even if they always didn't agree to the details. So that was the last Mishnah in the second Perek. So let's go on to chapter 3, Perek Gimel. Ra'uhu Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. If the judges of the Sanhedrin and all of Klal Yisrael saw the new moon, that was perfectly clear sky, easy to see, nechkru ha'edim, and they examined the witnesses, v'lo yispiku lomar mekudosh, but they didn't have the opportunity to actually declare mekudosh od shechashecha until after sunset, hare ze meubar. The month is pregnant, meaning it's a 30-day month, meaning too late. That it's not enough to conduct the proceedings, even if everyone saw the moon, if the Beit Din did not actually declare it mekudosh, it's not yet Rosh Chodesh. And again, as Rabbi Akiva mentions, Rabbi Yehoshua, Hashem gave the court the control over the calendar. Hashem gave it to us, the power to set Rosh Chodesh and control the calendar. It's actually one of the reasons the Greeks, during the Hanukkah invasion, the Greeks banned the proclamation of Rosh Chodesh. They don't want the Jews controlling their own calendar and setting their own schedule. The Mishnah continues, Ra'uhu Beit Din Bilvad. If only members of the Sanhedrin saw it, it was clear on the Temple Mount where the Sanhedrin was, cloudy everywhere else. Yamdu Shnayim, so two of them should get up as witnesses, Vayayidu, testify, Bifnayim, in front of everyone else. Vayomer Mekudesh Mekudesh, and they will all declare it sanctified. That will work. Because remember, there are 70 members on the Sanhedrin. Not everyone had to be there at the same time, but you would definitely have at least a quorum for the Sanhedrin. Ruh Shlosha Vahen Beit Din. If three men saw it and they are already a court, Yamdu Ashnaim V'yoshivu Mechavrehim Etzel Yochid. So two of them should become witnesses, and that one guy who's left, he should bring in more members to fill the quorum for the court. V'yidu Bifnehim. And they'll testify in front of the court once they have enough people. V'yomru Mekudesh Mekudesh. And they will sanctify the new moon. Sheina Yochid Neman Ol Yidei Atzmo. Because they can't have a single judge proclaim it by himself. We need the minimum quorum of three judges out of the Sanhedrin to sanctify the new moon. Good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom, and be well.